A new study is now underway to gauge the presence of an invasive, fast-spreading invertebrate, which looks disturbingly like vomit spread across the seafloor. The creature, known as sea vomit, a tunicate which originates around Japan, has not been seen in the Bay of Fundy for a decade. Because it spreads across the ocean floor, it can cause problems for various other sea creatures, and in turn may threaten the area's scallop fishing industry. Local 107.3 FM spoke with PhD student and science director of the Fundy North Fishermen's Association, Emily Blacklock, and Dr. Claire Goodwin, a research scientist from the Huntsman Marine Science Centre, based in St. Andrews. They spoke about how the creature may have arrived and the damage it can cause, as well as the scope of the project. Firstly, Blacklock introduced the invasive invertebrate.
So sea vomit is an invasive tunicate that is found, or has been found, in the Bay of Fundy. It was last found in 2013 and 2014 and hasn't been seen since, until Dr. Claire Goodwin at the Huntsman Marine Science Center was doing a survey and found it around Deer Island.
The sea vomit is actually an invasive colonial tunicate, so sea squirt. So sea squirts are actually in the same animal group as us, but when you see it on the seabed, it looks like really basic. It just looks like it's a rubbery crust that goes over hard substrate on the seabed. So it could be growing on bedrock, it could be growing over pebbles, could be growing on man-made things like boats and on wharves. And it forms this beige rubbery crust. It can have tassels coming up off the surface, can have veins and channels over its surface.
So it's not native to here at all. It's native to Japan. There's a few different ways it can come here. So it's often thought to be ballast water in ships or on the actual bottom of the hulls or any marine equipment being shared between countries. It's also able to spread if it's broken up. So if there's bottom dragging or if weather comes or something damages it, those fragments can float through the water and start a new colony somewhere else. So it spreads that way. And it can grow quite quickly if the conditions are right. So then it can cover the entire bottom, and that's where it starts to be an issue, is it can actually outcompete the local species that we have that live on the bottom. It can also affect the settlement of larvae, especially from scallops that are trying to settle, which is such a big industry here. That's where the problems start to happen.
In danger of asking the obvious, why is it called sea vomit? It sounds pretty unpleasant. Does it look like that?
Well, it is. It does look quite unpleasant. It does look a bit like a puddle of vomit on the seabed. It just forms this big sort of yellowy patch over the seabed. Yeah. We do know it's been present on the east coast of America since about 1970. But that's more down further south in the States, in Maine and further south. We did have one invasion of it into the Bay of Fundy in about 2013, but we did think it had been wiped out since then by the cold water temperatures. But what we've discovered recently is it seems to be coming back in. It can tolerate fairly cold water temperatures, but our winter temperatures have typically been enough to sort of knock it out over winter. So the colony will regress. And then if it needs to grow up the following year, if it's not completely wiped out, it'll take it a while to re-establish itself. And also it's got a larvae that it reproduces via, and that larvae needs a temperature range of between 14 and 18 degrees centigrade to reproduce. And we weren't hitting that temperature range much historically, but now we're getting warmer waters in the summer as well, which might enable it to reproduce using larvae.
So Dr. Goodwin reached out to the Fundy North Fishermen's Association and asked if we could help with the survey. So we have scallop fishers currently scallop dragging throughout the Bay of Fundy. And because they're pulling up so many things from the bottom, like the scallops that they're looking for and rocks and branches and other things that have been down there for so long, they can see different things that have grown on the shells or on those branches over time. And they can look for this tunicate really easily. So they've been all given an ID guide that shows what sea vomit looks like. And they're able to look through all the stuff that they find on the bottom. And if they find what they think is sea vomit, they're actually taking a sample and recording where it is and how much they're seeing in that area.
So what kind of damage does it cause?
Well, it's a very fast growing species and it doesn't have many native predators, so it enables it to form these very, very large patches over the seabed, and they actually grow over the existing marine life that's living there and smother it, so they just outcompete everything because it can grow so rapidly. And because it forms this thick rubbery mat over the seabed, that stops anything else accessing the seabed. So a lot of our commercial species like scallops, when they're young, they have a larvae in the water column and that settles out onto the seabed. seabed, and the juvenile scallops then live in these little spaces in between rocks on the seabed. And if that mats over the seabed, first of all, it produces a chemical that stops the scallop larvae settling in the first place, but then it also prevents a physical barrier to stop them actually accessing that seabed habitat.
Scallop is one of our concerns right now just because those are the fishers that are helping us. But if those spat and those larvae can't land to grow into bigger scallops, it's going to be a problem for future scallop seasons if we can even get scallops at that point. It might not be next year that we see it, but it could be in a few years or in 10 years or 20 years where we're not seeing the scallops that we used to have.
Our first step for sure, just actually finding out where this species is. And we're working with fishers, particularly Fundy North Fishermen's Association and Coastal Action to coordinate to fishers in Nova Scotia. And we're trying to get records from fishers about where they're seeing it, because obviously for us it's very hard to get out and survey everywhere in the Bay of Fundy, but these fishers are out on the water all the time and they'd be encountering it in their catches. So our first step is to find out where it is, and that'll be a combination of the fisher sightings and then also our own survey. So we go out and do our targeted surveys with remotely operated vehicles and divers next year based on what the fishers report to us. Then we want to find out where this species is coming from. So we're actually doing population genetics with the University of New Brunswick, and they'll be looking at genetic components of the samples and just working out that enables us to work out hopefully where these have come in from in other areas in the US or from different sources. And then we'll also be trying to look at ways we could potentially control this species, whether that's through avoiding introducing it into new areas or whether there's some maybe physical or chemical means of control we can use. Once they've got into an area and become established, it can be very hard to eradicate them. So prevention of spread is always like one of the first mechanisms you look at.
In terms of your own involvement, I mean, have you been out sort of collecting samples as well?
So I have been out on a few of the boats helping collect samples so far. I'm not sure if what I have found is sea vomit or not. That's where Dr. Goodwin comes in, and she can really get down to, is this exactly what it looks like it is? Because when you're cold and you're on the boats, everything that's yellow starts to look like sea vomit. As of today, we have 150 samples that I currently have to go drop off to get properly identified, but fishers are bringing them in every single day. When they think they found something, they can use the scallop knife they use to shuck the scallops out of their shell and just scrape pieces off and put it in the little jar. And they have a big form that they fill out with their name and who they are, where it was, anything else, like how much did they see in that drag? Because when they drag, it's quite a distance in some cases. So you can know that it was found somewhere in that area. And that's why we're getting such good detail from them of looking at such a big area. So right now, the scallop season's open for the entire Bay of Fundy. We have fishers in almost every area who are looking to see what they can find.
We provided the fishers with collection kits. So basically in the connection kit, there's a little jar with ethanol as a preservative, just alcohol basically. And that we need the strong alcohol so we can use the sample for genetic work. And then we'll be able to look in the lab and just confirm identification first of all, because there's a lot of things that can look quite similar to sea vomit. Some of our sponges look very similar when they're graying, and we want to check that the samples really are sea vomit. And then once we've done that, we can pass those samples on to University of New Brunswick for our genetic study. It's quite common to find marine invasive species, and some are more problematic than others. So a lot of people will know green crab, so the European green crab, which is really abundant now. It's one of our most abundant crab species when you get out on the shore, and that's actually an invasive species from Europe. Another component of the project, we will actually be doing surveys of harbours and marinas in both Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. And we'll be looking for invasive species as part of that and seeing which other species are present.
With the scallop season right now, this year we have 50 fishers who volunteered to do this throughout the Bay of Fundy. We'd happily have more people involved in the study. It is going to be a short scallop season, so it is ending relatively soon, but we will be doing this again next year. It's a 3-year study, so we're happy to have anyone come join us through the study. So using the scallop draggers allows us to get such a big view of the bay because they're going up and down the bay every single day and getting such a huge survey done for us, which is fantastic. And then we can start to see if we're finding it and where it is we're finding it to understand the distribution that might be present if there is one. We're just so thankful that the fishers are willing to do this because it is volunteering time out of their day to go look through all of what they find during their scallop drags. But I find it's really good to have them involved, and they've probably learned a little bit about this too as well during this project. So it's been a great adventure for everybody. They already have some regulations where they have to look for certain species that if they find something, they would report it. But this is one of the first ones where they're doing it and they know where the science is going and it can help everybody in the end. Scallop dragging, I find, is one of the most fun things you can do because you can also find treasures like teacups or old bottles and things like that. So everyone's always kind of looking through their drags already.
This is Ionico for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.